Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runners, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by UCAN, smarter energy to finish stronger. By VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shops. By EnduranceCon, coming up June 27th, 28th, Long Beach Convention Center. To purchase tickets, go to EnduranceCon.com. By our Challenge Athletes Foundation, we have now raised over $112 million, sent out over 26,000 grants to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out challengedathletes.org to help out. And you can check out any of our interviews on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com, and all your favorite podcast apps. As always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, the co-founder of UCAN, her name is Shobha Murali. How are you, Shobha?
Fantastic, Bob. Thank you. Wonderful work that you're doing with Challenged Athletes Foundation. Congrats on that.
Oh, thank you so much, Shobha, and I appreciate all of your support. So take me back. How did you get involved with UCAN?
Oh, well, it seems like a long time ago. My colleague, Peter Kaufman, who you know,
yes.
Peter and I have been good friends for many years, have been entrepreneurs, what people might call serial entrepreneurs, very involved in businesses and technology businesses in particular.
Right.
And we came together early 2000, 2006. Peter had brought to my attention that he knew of a family who had a child who was suffering from a very rare condition. And he wanted to see, we were all at that point about trying to give back in some way. You know, we'd done businesses in the past. Personally, my personal story is 9/11 had happened. 9/11 happens to be my birthday. And my husband had taken the day off. And I really, you know, we were on a golf course. So I really, it was like one of those life-shaking moments when you say, wow, something different has to happen in life going forward. So it was all about finding the next enterprise that would be more of a giving back effort than
yeah.
one of really commercializing.
Right.
Right? So Peter and I came together and, you know, we would brainstorm about this. And then he talked about this family that had a child with a very rare condition. And there was a charity that was formed around it and whether we should be involved. And so we got together, attended a symposium. So I can, if it's okay, I can tell you a little bit about that and how that
Absolutely. Because, you know, Jonah seems to be the catalyst for pretty much everything.
Exactly, exactly. So Jonah was the firstborn of a family of David and Wendy in Cheshire, Connecticut. He was born with a very rare condition, 3,000 cases in the U.S., about 30,000 cases worldwide, where he's unable to produce blood glucose. You know, glucose is what powers every cell in your body, your
yep.
brain, your body. It's the most life-sustaining fuel. So children born with this condition have to be fed every 2 hours, day and night, to be kept alive. So it's really a life by the clock. So
right.
if you walk into Wendy or David's house, you know, back then every room would have a clock because parents are, you know, really, really nervous about that 2 hour feeding. David and Wendy, as good Americans do when they get hit with a calamity, is to really said, well, how do we overcome this? And they had set up a foundation, raised a couple of $1 million, and were really looking to find a cure for their child's condition. And they reached out to Dr. Steve Squinto. He's the fourth co-founder, you know, Peter, myself, David,
yes.
The child's father, David, and Dr. Steve Squinto. Dr. Steve Squinto is a very, very respected biologist, microbiologist, and he has worked on several solutions for what you call orphan diseases, where diseases are one in 100,000 in incidence. And David had approached Steve saying, Steve, can you really help me with a cure for my child? And Steve said, well, let me pull together a symposium with the best minds and science and the best people who are working on this. And so Steve had pulled that symposium together. Peter and Steve had as fun stories go, were co-actors in Fiddler on the Roof, that was put together by the local synagogue that Steve attended. So Steve got to Peter, Peter got to me. So four of us came together. We all attended that symposium. And what was very clear was that curing this condition wasn't straightforward. It required gene therapy, stem cell therapy. So the shift, so we really shifted to there must be something out there that can make this feeding regimen of 2 hours, you know, somewhat more bearable, somewhat more, you know, more of an interval than that 2 hours. So that caused us all to turn towards looking at patent applications, looking at food sources. We started calling carbohydrate researchers around the world. Steve and David started calling folks like the World Health Organization to see if there was anything out there in the carbohydrate world. Because, you know, you're a triathlete, Bob, and anyone in endurance knows that carbs break down to give you glucose.
Right.
So whether you are having rice, wheat, barley, tapioca, oats, whatever those carb sources may be, they all break down ultimately to give you glucose. But how they break down and how rapidly they break down or how slowly they break down really depends on how much glucose and how steady your glucose you can get out of it. So given that this is something that had to be fed to a newborn child, had to be of the form that could even go through a GI tube, we really had to look for a powdered form that would really last longer in Jonah. So fast forward, you know, we really, having called all these researchers, Steve, Dr. Squinto found in his search a patent application in Europe that caught our attention. It was a cooking method, much like when you cook pasta, you can overcook it or undercook it. This was a heat, moisture, pressure cooking method that when you apply to a very, very specific kind of non-GMO grain, we found that you get the best result. So that's how YouCan started.
So how long was it before Jonah, where the clocks disappeared, where you didn't have to worry about Jonah having to eat every 2 hours, that he was able to sleep through the night because now he had, you know, he had superstarch, he had something that could keep him alive?
Yeah, well, you know, that's a great question. So put yourself in our shoes, right?
Yeah.
We had attended the symposium. We were doing all these searches. We had found this patent application, and we were super excited because this patent application was filed by a carbohydrate researcher in Scotland who had the very same quest as we were, you know, finding a slow-release carbohydrate for this condition. And we went off then, obtained that, and he was cooking 45 grams in a bottle in a laboratory, graduate student laboratory setting in Scotland. So 45 grams isn't much, and it's a long cooking process. So the first thing we had to think about was, can you scale this enough so Jonah could get this on a sustained basis? And that took us a bit of time, trying to find starch manufacturers, trying to find equipment that would take a laboratory technology and scale it. Again, we were very, very clear from the get-go that it had to have no chemicals, no enzymes. It just had to be like baking bread. It had to be a very, very gentle process that we had to scale. So it really was 2009 when we could produce about 25 kilograms at a time, having trapped, you know, tested various pots and pans and designed various cooking equipment. And it was when we produced about 25 grams that we had enough to test Jonah under the guidance of his physician in a hospital setting. And so when in, I think it roughly was the summer of 2008 or 2009, when we had that sustained 8 hour glucose night for Jonah, and he was sleeping through the night. And
wow.
His mom was, you know, posted on Facebook, and we all knew that that was it. You know, that was life transforming for the child, for the parents. So that was our reason for being, and we would have stopped right there.
You know, what's fascinating to me is there wasn't a, you weren't looking to create a business. You guys were just
Definitely
looking for
not.
A solution. You were just looking to help one child. And obviously there was other children out there. There's a couple thousand in the country. When did it go from, okay, Jonah's healthy. Jonah can sleep through the night. Jonah can have a normal life now because his body can process food. To, I think there's other people out there that potentially could use this. The transformation from we're helping one person to maybe there's something more here.
Right. You know, we'd get together on Sunday afternoons, kind of like really track the progress of what we were doing here for Jonah, right? And remember, we're science-driven. So Dr. Steve Squinter would say, well, if you, all we're doing here is giving steady glucose, and steady glucose is what everybody needs, and there must be a larger purpose to this than just what we are addressing for Jonah. So we, in our negotiation to get the rights for this technology from our Scottish entrepreneur, really had looked at the broad field of consumer nutrition, because that unlock of knowing that it's not just Jonah who needs to maintain blood sugar, but it's really everybody else. So today, that's a lot more widespread in knowledge, the glycemic control, or really that if you can maintain your blood glucose, everything in your body falls in place. Your brain gets glucose, your body gets glucose. So we intuitively, I would say, through discussions, thought of its first application as being in sports. And we reached out to, and we were technology entrepreneurs, so really didn't have a strong nutrition background, but certainly had a science background with Dr. Squinter on the panel. So we reached out to sports dietitians. We reached out to Bob Sivahar, who was at that time wrapping up at University of Florida, and he was moving over to Colorado to be the dietitian for the triathlon team that was training for Beijing. We reached out to a Dr. Jeff Wallach, who was an associate professor at University of Connecticut. And we went to these folks and we showed them our patent application and all of the science. And we said, if you had a carbohydrate that behaves like this, that gives you steady glucose without all the ups and downs. In fact, there are many proteins that spike your glucose. So here we were having a carbohydrate that gives you very steady glucose. We said, what do you think about it? Dr. Wallach, who is a low-carbohydrate researcher who believes really in low-carbohydrate diets, and you know, looked at this and he said, if there's a carb I would back, this would be it. Bob Sivahar said, God, in the sports nutrition industry, we're always about managing your blood sugar. And he says, this is going to change the name of the game in sports. It's we need to go out there, get some clinical trials and good data around this. So that's really when the aha moment of it could be bigger really came about.
So then you connect with, you know, at that time, as today, one of the bigger names in running, Meb Keflezighi, who would go on to win New York City Marathon in 2009 and then win Boston the year after the bombing, and then, you know, just basically had a second half to his career that people thought his career was over after he didn't make the Olympic team in 2008. How did you guys connect with Meb and his brother Howie?
Yeah, so before we had, even before we had a name for the product, you know, we were shipping we were cooking, as I told you, 25 kilograms at a time, and then yeah, scaling up to 75. And, you know, we considered this powder very, very precious. A kilogram was costing us about $3,000.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that was really precious.
Yeah.
So we for us, it was all about validating it. We weren't about, let's go build a business around this and raise a bunch of money. It needed to have some validity for us. So while we were conducting the clinical trials in more of a laboratory, you know, IRB reviewed studies and so on in university settings, we were also seeding the product in white powder and Ziploc bags to coaches and dietitians and trying to get feedback. So Bob Sibahar was working in Colorado with Dr. Krista Austin, who was a dietitian who was a nutritionist who was guiding MEBS nutrition. And, you know, we really had no idea that the product had reached MEB. And we weren't runners, so we weren't really at that point tracking who MEB was or what he was doing. So we had seeded it to Bob through Bob as one of our coaches, and he had reached MEB through Krista. And we had also seeded it with a lot of professional football teams, collegiate ice hockey teams, and giving it to them and just getting data and asking them how they were feeling and, you know, and what their metabolic parameters were and how this was behaving. And 2009, just the day before the New York City Marathon, my colleague Peter and I met with Dr. Krista Austin and Merhavi at the Hilton in New York. And Meb's two little daughters were there at the table playing around with sugar packets while we were having coffee or breakfast. And Howie then told us that Meb loved the product. He doesn't get involved with anything that he doesn't back, and given that this is founded for a child and it's so healthy, it's really sitting well on his stomach. And Peter and I just came away pretty pleased that we had a marathoner who was using this.
Right.
And little did we do, we didn't really have a name for the product. We didn't really ask for sponsorship or do anything that day. We went home, and on Sunday, we're looking at TVs, looking at the TV, and Meb goes on to win the New York City Marathon. So we just sat up and we said, wow.
And he's been using your product.
Yeah, well, now how much of it he used that day and when, I've never kind of pressed him about it. But I would tell you that to us, it became that moment of, we were getting feedback from the hockey teams, which were very positive. We were getting feedback from one of the top NFL teams.
Yes.
That, because we don't have the rights to it,
right.
I shall not name on the podcast. But,
right.
But we were getting some great feedback from defensive linesmen who were dropping, who are putting on muscle and really having more productive workouts. So we said, well, we've got to really launch this product. And then when I heard Meb's story, his story of leaving Eritrea as a young man, young child, and with his family, and all of the journey they went through, and how they persevered in the U.S., and he's now the and became an Olympian, and he's now the most inspirational figure, embodying what we at that time felt, was that UCAN spirit, right? So we said, that's the person around whom we want to launch the product, because he has a UCAN story.
Right.
We have a UCAN story. It's really, truly the coming together of the belief that you can do it, the undertaking that journey, being inspired by it, and then fulfilling your dream. And we had done it, Meb had done it, and to us that was a great convergence. So in 2010 at the Boston Marathon, by then we produced our very first packaging. We called it Generation UCAN because we felt it was a new generation.
Uh-huh.
And there was a reason to call it Generation from a trademark standpoint, but we launched it there, and I'm so humbled that I was running that as one of the founders at that point, and still do to today as a CEO, partly because the others in our four founding group were busy with their various enterprises. So on that day in Boston, we had Meb's parents, we had Meb's family, we had Jonah's family, and and a few of us, and we all launched Generation UCAN.
So what does Jonah do now, and how old is he?
Oh, God. Jonah is a graduating senior at a private school here in Connecticut called Choate, the Choate Academy.
Oh, yeah.
JFK went to.
Yes.
So he is great in athletics. He's a baseball player, was a hockey player in his early, ice hockey player in his early days, a very, very impressive young man. So I hope you'll have him on your show one of the days.
Absolutely. I'd love to have him on. That's That is amazing that what this young man went through with, I mean, a lot of it probably he didn't even know, right? Because he was an infant.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So now you've, from a running perspective, obviously the idea of consistent nutrition and the superstarch concept doesn't just play for people who are doing like MEB at 208, 209 marathon. But as you get into longer events, ultra marathons and then triathlon, Matt Bach, who now works for the company, was having GI issues as a Ironman guy. And then he goes, he starts using UCAN. He goes to Ironman Maryland. I think it was Ironman Maryland. And he wins it and basically said, listen, this I've turned everything around. And then I think he approached you guys of working for the company because he believed so much in the product.
That is right. That is right. We are absolutely, we have absolutely been propelled over the years with people who have tried the product or found the product and found it benefiting them, validating it for us in some way. You know, it's not about the big TV commercials, but it's really about people, word of mouth, people finding it from their influencers, from their coaches, from their friends. And today, coming up here in Atlanta for the Olympic trials, we have over 50 qualifiers for the Olympic trials who are UCAN ambassadors. So if you had asked us several years ago, would we get here to this point where we have 150 colleges and professional teams, where we've got over 50 Olympic qualifiers out of the, whatever, 300 plus, it's a humbling moment. Because the product has multiple benefits that we have come to realize. Besides the various papers and studies that have been published in the Journal of Nutrition or in the ACSM conferences, it shows basically three things, right? It shows one, superstarch gives you steady glucose, and that's kind of validated in all of this data, and that's what our athletes are experiencing. Second, it shows that it doesn't spike your insulin. So, and I'm sorry to get a little technical here, but there is a lot of correlation between insulin and fat. And what we have been taught, and remember, Peter and I are not nutritionists, and
right.
We had to learn this from a lot of esteemed researchers like Dr. Kathy Yeckel and Dr. Jeff Wallach and so on. And We understand that when you do not spike your insulin, your body is put in the ideal state. It's like a hybrid car. You're getting that steady glucose, which is your fuel, and you're able to unlock your fat calories, you know, which is your battery, which has got, there's an abundant amount of fat calories even in a 6%, 8% body fat marathoner. So putting you in that condition where you can unlock your fat calories and get your steady glucose is the ideal state. Now, you can layer over whatever other calories you may need, depending on the intensity of your exercise. But this creates that insurance. It creates that foundation for every individual, whether you're an athlete or you're sitting at your desk and you're working or you're presenting in a conference, whatever it may be. Now, the third thing, so the first one is glucose. The second one is how it behaves with respect to insulin and fat. And the third is the GI aspect, the gastric distress aspect that Matt Bach found out. And again, this all has to go with osmolality. And, you know, there's been a lot of Gatorade signs, a lot of signs around trying to understand osmolality and what percentage of your serving can be carbohydrates based on how the osmolality is or the molecular weight of these ingredients are. So when you think of sugars and maltodextrins, which are found in most of your gels and most of your other sports drinks, they're all very low molecular weight. They are in under, let's say, 500. We are 100,000 in molecular weight, which means we provide with a high molecular weight, low osmolality solution. So we get out of the stomach very quickly, and we digest very slowly in the intestine. And that's really how Jonah can get that 8 hours. The very slow digestion is happening in the intestine. So it's not in your stomach to bother you. Now, honestly, we had no idea about all of this when we first discovered superstarch. We were discovering superstarch for steady glucose. But the fact that there's so many other body parameters that fall in place are, is fascinating for us. And we continue to invest and try to understand how superstarch is working.
Another athlete who embraced UCAN, Timothy O'Donnell, top triathlete, goes to Kona this year and has his best race ever there, comes in second place. As you guys have expanded beyond running to triathlon, what have you learned? Because endurance athletes are, people think endurance athletes are endurance athletes, but there's a difference between people who are focused on swim, bike, run, and people who are running and people who are cycling. What have you found the difference to be between these athletes, and how does UCAN work for all of them?
Yeah, so it's a combination of the intensity of their activity and their use, right? I mean, a runner like a Meb might rely on UCAN a lot pre-race, may rely on it post-recovery. He may rely on it on his training, so he's better adapted and he's not really taking on unnecessary calories, especially as he's aging. He has to watch out how his metabolism is.
Right.
Someone like Tim, with the various modalities of swimming, run, and bike and run, has to incorporate his regimen differently, maybe before the swim, maybe during the bike ride and the multiple times, just before he gets on to his running. So he has been able to, he started off mid-year last year saying, I need to dial back and change my nutrition. I need to really figure out my nutrition. And he speaks very articulately about how he's been able to really get that steady energy, feels that difference, and is able to really power through without feeling tired. And at the end of all of his activity, he says he just has time to go enjoy time with his children. It's not really like he's plopping up, you know, down on a couch feeling absolutely exhausted.
That's so cool. And what, Shoba, moving forward, now that you've made inroads, obviously, marathons, triathlons, what are the plans moving forward?
Yeah, so we started in endurance, and we will continue to, you know, expand and build through all of our influencers, our tri coaches. I just came back from a Bay Area visit, meeting up with the Golden Gate Tri Club, the San Francisco Tri Club, the Tri Valley Tri Club, the Silicon Valley Tri Club, right, all of the tri clubs in that area. So we'll certainly get the message of TO. And his success and how he uses it. And, you know, again, beholden to several tri coaches who are kind of helping us in this. So we'll continue our effort in tri and running and in cycling. But we certainly think that the bigger benefit for us is that everyday user who's working out, you know, working out to achieve results, whatever their PRs are, they want their own PRs. They want to excel at what they are doing. And we are, you know, we've been fortunate to have had a partnership with Lifetime Fitness, the mm-hmm. high-end gyms. And
yes.
We've been working alongside their trainers over the last 4 years and continue to see great results with them. They use our products very differently than what an endurance athlete uses. They prescribe our products, you know, prior to your workout for more productive workouts, whether it is in the morning or whether it's the end of the evening after your workday, trying to incorporate it at least once during your day, one other time during the day if your goal is a weight loss goal. Because when you've got steady glucose, your brain doesn't feel hungry, your body has satiety, so you feel nourished. That's a different way that they are using it. So we certainly see the broad fitness market, the performance athletics market, which is your colleges and your sports teams, whether it is Michael Andrews in swimming, who's setting records right now, or whether it is folks in tennis or lacrosse or these professional teams. So we certainly see performance athletics, we see fitness, we see endurance. That is, I would say, on the next three-year horizon. When you look at next three-year horizon, that's the market we want to penetrate. But there is a parallel market which has got applications with diabetes, because management of your blood glucose, whether it's for a type 2 diabetic or a type 1 diabetic, is essential. So as a food product, as a go-to food product with an application for diabetic individuals, is certainly another technology option for us, or a product option for us.
Love it. Hey, Shoba, thank you so much for taking so much time. And GenerationUCAN.com is still the website?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. The UCAN company, you can Google us as UCAN Nutrition Superstarch or Generation UCAN. You should get us to the right URL. And our team is always there to support any kind of inquiries and to help us. And we are all dependent on everyone who's out there to help us further this technology because, again, it's a mission of creating healthy lives without the dependence on unhealthy calories that we're all about.
I love it. I love the fact that you come from, you got your master's in computer and information sciences, and now your life is nutrition.
Yes.
That cracks me up because you never know, right? You never know. All of a sudden, here's this young man. You guys are just trying to get him to sleep through the night. And next thing you know, this young man has a normal life, is graduating high school, is being able to go on to whatever he wants to do. And a business came out of it.
Yeah, yes, it is. And it's much like all of these endurance athletes, Bob. You know, you start out running a small 5K, and then one day you're running the marathon, right?
Exactly.
Your health along the way.
Yep.
Your health along the way. You're inspired. You kind of like your family supports you. You put your heart into the training, and you look for that finish line. So we are still looking for our finish line, but we are progressing very well towards it, but propelled by a lot of the cheerleaders who are supporting us.
Great. Shoba, thank you so much for taking so much time. Always a pleasure to chat with you.
And thank you, Bob. You've been one of our ardent supporters along the way, you know, encouraging us to continue to pursue this. Thank you.
Love it all. Again, Shoba Murali has been our guest. My name is Bob Babbitt. We're brought to you by UCAN, Smarter Energy to Finish Stronger, by VeloFix, the world's coolest mobile bike shops, by EnduranceCon, coming up on June 27th, 28th, Long Beach Convention Center. By our Challenged Athletes Foundation, this last year we sent out 3,260 grants, totaling $4.8 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Babbittville.com, and all of your favorite podcast apps. And as always, endurance lives here.